Is it time to exit all markets before the multi-year bear market starts? Or is this a generational buying opportunity? In today's episode, we're going to find out.
We've analyzed all the data and looked at all the trends so we can provide you with the perfect market prediction.
Welcome to the Bean Pod. This is your place for all things stocks and crypto. From beginner tips to expert picks. Use this as fuel for your investing journey, because when you're in the know, your money will grow.
This episode of the Bean Pod is sponsored by Mudo Hub, the global leader in blockchain-based epigenetics and DNA research.
Over the last 8 years, Mudo has gained worldwide recognition by partnering with top-tier institutions like the King's College London, the University of Singapore, and Web3 giants like VeChain.
With over 70,000 tests conducted worldwide and millions of dollars in revenue, their AI-powered health coach provides personalized, actionable insights to help users take control of their wellness journey.
Users can even monetize their own health data through commercial and clinical research while helping fund groundbreaking discoveries.
If you're betting on DeSci and AI-driven health innovation this cycle, look no further than Mudo Hub and the DNA token.
All views expressed by speakers on the Bean Pod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the Bean Pod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Welcome to the Bean Pod. This is Shane, aka the Jolly Green Investor.
And this is Josh, the Nifty Investor.
Today, we're going to be discussing if this is the start of a massive stock and crypto market crash, or is this a huge buying opportunity and we need to be loading up more?
Trump is wreaking havoc on the markets. He's made a lot of big promises. Some have been kept, but some have not been kept. He's been poking, you know, all the different countries around the world with tariffs, and it's created a lot of uncertainty. You have Elon Musk in the office with his little kid, you know, trying to make all these decisions. it's been fascinating. You know, even the way he and Zelensky had that meeting in the White House. Right now, Trump has created so much uncertainty and the markets do not like it. What are the markets typically like?
Yeah, so I think what we've seen since the inauguration day is Trump really being aggressive in terms of American foreign policy. And as you mentioned, markets don't like uncertainty. And that's why we've seen a massive stock market sell-off. Now, what we're going to do in today's episode is figure out, is this the start of a massive multi-year bear market and everyone needs to exit all markets and sell their portfolio now? Or should we be buying the fear and buying the panic? Because typically, that can be a good strategy if it's true that we're not headed into a multi-year bear market. So we're going to look at all these different stats and some different analysis, some historical trends we found, some things that a lot of people I think are missing. So if you're a bit of afraid about your portfolio right now, make sure to watch this episode to the end.
So what Trump has done is he's come in and, as I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, he started a tariff trade war. And not just with one country. He didn't just do it to Mexico. He didn't just do it to Canada. He's doing it with China. He's probing the European Union. He's going after the entire world at once. And sometimes it looks like there's a clown show happening in the White House right now. And it feels as though he's not being totally respected and the rest of the world is sort of uneasy with the moves that he's making. Mm-hmm. And because of this, we're uncertain as to where the market's going to head next and where the capital inflow is going to head. There's a lot of information out there. There's one chart that everybody's looking at right now is the M2 global liquidity supply. If front runs Bitcoin, yeah, and then Bitcoin will follow. And right now, the M2 global liquidity supply is on the rise. Mm-hmm. In saying that, I think there is a lot of liquidity on the sidelines. Obviously, trillions of dollars have been wiped out from the stock market over the last little while. Bitcoin has seen a huge drawdown. But I think because of all the uncertainty, investors are unsure where to put their money right now. Mm. And when we eventually see that pivot from Powell, from Trump, that could be when a ton of liquidity enters the market and risk assets could do quite well.
Yeah, so a lot of people have this theory that Trump is purposely manipulating the markets and crashing the stock market and therefore Bitcoin and the entire crypto market, because it's basically just follows the stock market, because he wants interest rates to come down. The United States has trillions of dollars worth of debt that they don't want to pay off at a high interest rate. And they're, you know, people can't really borrow much money to, you know, infuse the economy right now because interest rates are too high. Trump, before he came into power, he kind of asked Powell to lower interest rates, but Powell did not budge. So Trump is now basically saying, you know, F you, I'm going to crash the markets and force your hand to lower interest rates. So the theory is that Trump and his administration are crashing the stock markets on purpose in order to force Powell's hand and lower interest rates, pivot from quantitative tightening to quantitative easing. And therefore, you know, if that happens, that could be the start of a new quote unquote bull run for risk assets, because typically long term lower interest rates and quantitative easing rather than tightening is good for risk assets, is good for crypto and good for Bitcoin. So the only question is, how long will this go on, right? He just got inaugurated. It's been 2 months, and it's been 2 months of basically down only for the stock market. You know, Tesla is down 50%. The stock market seems like it goes down 1% to 2% every day. Bitcoin is down from 110K to 80K. Altcoins are in the absolute toilet.
Yeah.
So how long is this? Is it going to be like, is it a 2-3-6 month thing, or is this a multi-year thing, right? That's why, and even Trump himself, one day, 50% tariffs. One day, no tariffs.
It's hard to take them seriously.
It's very difficult. That's why these are very volatile times. And this is, you know, we say markets don't like uncertainty. This is as uncertain as it could possibly get.
We talked about quantitative easing, and I don't think the quantitative easing is going to be what everybody is anticipating. You look at the U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. He said the White House is focused on creating a real economy, saying that there's short-term pain, but this is going to be long-term gain. How are they doing that? Well, you have Elon and the Department of Doge, so that is government efficiency. And what are they doing? They're auditing all the government agencies, ensuring that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're finding out where the money is being spent. So essentially what they're trying to do is do cost savings. So what will end up happening is the U.S. government will start to save money instead of spending in all these unnecessary areas, at least what they view as unnecessary. From there, with these tariff wars, they're trying to bring manufacturing in-house, and they're protecting the U.S. industry. So they're trying to bring investment into America. So they want to create this real economy. Mm-hmm. Creating a real economy after all the money printing that's been going on, it's been inflated because of, you know, the government has been creating government jobs mm-hmm. year after year after year. So it makes the employment numbers look really good. Especially when the government's been spending so much. It makes it look like, you know, everything's been going willy-nilly and perfectly. Mm-hmm. But in actuality, it's all inflated. And we've talked about this in previous episodes. Is the government going to continue kicking the can down the road? Or are they going to start to, you know, clean house? And when you clean house, it's a painful feeling. It's like, you know, anytime you get in a fight with your partner or your friend or whatever, it's like, it's short-term pain, but long-term, it's going to be much better for the actual economy. Mm-hmm. So if Americans can actually start saving money with these interest rate drops, they can actually then start spending within their own area versus borrowing money at these super high interest rates, having to pay it back. It's just not sustainable. Mm-hmm. So I see what they're trying to do. So I think we can expect, you know, some continued pain over the next little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I think, I mean, look, we've already seen 2 months of basically down only in the stock and crypto markets. But for people that are wondering, is this a multi-year bear market? Is this the end of the crypto bull market? I think there are some encouraging signs when you look at, you know, you said, okay, liquidity looks like it could be on the rise. Bitcoin seems to lag this liquidity. When Bitcoin was at its all-time high a few months ago at 110K, that's when the liquidity was already starting to drop. Then Bitcoin was way above liquidity, and then it kind of has now come down to where liquidity is. But you can see, based on the projections, that the M2 liquidity is going to rise significantly in, like, say, Q2 of 2025, and therefore Bitcoin could follow it back to a potential all-time high. Then when you look at things like the US dollar, the DXY, is falling significantly right now, and risk assets typically flourish when the DXY falls. There's a lot of charts out there that are pointing to, you know, a multi-year breakdown for DXY. And typically, it doesn't always happen overnight, right? If DXY breaks down, it's not like risk assets fly the next day. But it could be a good sign for the next, like, 6 to 12 months if DXY, the US dollar, continues to fall, because that means that risk assets typically go back into a bull run when you have a lower DXY. So there are other macroeconomic things that are pointing up, while the whole Trump tariff situation and trade war is kind of pulling everything down right now. And again, like we talk about, we think we know what they're doing, blah, blah, blah. This could all change very quickly.
Yeah.
Like next week, he could have a meeting. Tariffs are gone. Like, you just never know. Anyone who says they know what Trump is doing, they're lying. I don't even think he knows what he's doing.
No, sometimes it feels like he has no idea what he's doing. So when I look to the Fed, I think, I don't know if you guys out there follow Trueflation. Trueflation is, you know, they're using on-chain data to really objectively, in real time, figure out where inflation's at. And they nailed the previous CPI print that came in cooler than expected. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, okay, that's a great thing. Don't we want to see like a inflation fall really fast? Well, yes and no, because you also want to see a gradual decrease in the inflation because it means the economy is quite healthy. But when it starts to fall off a cliff, that is a little bit troubling. Mm. So I think there's a lot of fears right now in terms of the Fed cutting too late, because they're using they're using lagging data. They're not using Trueflation. Trueflation, when you look at the current print, they're looking at like a one point. So current inflation came in at 2.8%, I believe it was. They're calling for 1.39 next.
That's very low.
That is extremely low.
Yeah.
If the Fed starts to cut when inflation's falling at that type of pace, it could signal that we are entering a recession. Mm. Maybe the big players already know that, which is why we're now seeing such a sell-off. Mm-hmm. But what is the market? They're forward-looking, right? You alluded to this at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah. The market is typically pricing in what's going to happen in 6 to 12 months. So if people are selling off as of, you know, January, that means that they think in 6 to 12 months there's going to be a recession. The fact that people say, oh, we're heading into a recession, markets will go down. Well, by the time you realize we're in a recession, it's probably too late for you to sell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You want to be selling before the recession. So if you sold in November, December, January, early January, that was a great move. Now, as the recessionary headlines start to come out, we always say, as soon as these big banks and these, you know, JP Morgan, they start to say, oh, it's a recession, it's too late. You know what I mean? They're trying to get you to sell the bottom, because 6 to 12 months, most likely it's going to be recovered.
Yeah.
So they're pricing in the future. So if you were smart enough to sell the top before these recessionary fears hit, kudos, good for you. But what you're going to want to see now is, what do you think, where's the economy going to be in 6 to 12 months? And, you know, by all accounts, it could be a much better situation than it is now.
And that's what I'm seeing, like that Scott Bessnett guy, he's saying, look, it's short-term pain, long-term gain. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of come and said, like, the next 6 months are going to be rocky.
Yep.
And that just means they're fixing things. And when the market starts to price in and they see, like, look, now the government has started to save America money. Consumers, the regular retail person starts to save money on their interest rates and all these things. All of a sudden, you're going to start to see maybe some very positive signs for the market and be like, look, people are starting to spend again. And this company is starting to do well again. It's like, all of a sudden, the market, that's going to be happening for like in the future, right? Yeah. So you want to start positioning yourself ahead of those times, because otherwise you're going to be chasing again.
Yeah.
Right?
So I think there is a mix, obviously, of some bearish macroeconomic signals, but also mid to long-term bullish. And I think things can switch on a dime, just like they did when he started this trade war. You know, everything was hunky-dory, and all of a sudden he's made a bunch of moves and the world economy is starting to fall. But things can shift very quickly. If something breaks in the U.S. economy and they have to shift quickly to quantitative easing, who knows, printing money, lower interest rates, the bull run can reignite very, very quickly. So we always, you know, you can't time the market. It's time in the market, right? So we don't want to panic and sell the bottom here. And then when we shift to actually looking at crypto and Bitcoin, you know, when you look at Bitcoin and bull markets, historical cycles, it doesn't seem to me like the top of the cycle is in. You know, you made some posts on Twitter about like the lengths of the cycles and the price appreciations of the cycles. It doesn't seem, you know, we did a price prediction, the Bitcoin price prediction episode like a year ago. And I think we both agreed that the top would be Q4 2025. And I still think that that is going to be the top of this current cycle. Q4 of this year, I don't think we've seen the top in Q1. I think we're going to go through like a bit of a, you know, mid-year lull like we did in the last bull market. In the last bull market, people kind of forget, because a lot of the people that are in this bull market, this is their first cycle. Bitcoin went from 64K down to 28K in the middle of the cycle, and it did downward chop for 2.5 months. At that point, I guarantee you everyone thought it was over.
Yeah.
Like a drop of over 50% and two plus months of downward chop, it's over. Bear market. And then boom, Bitcoin went from 28K to 69K.
Yeah.
Just when everyone leaves, like, I think that's what we're going to see. All the retail, Trump got elected, new retail flooded in, like, you know, our friends are messaging us about crypto, everyone's messaging you, they bought the top, they got wrecked after the Trump pump has now completely, fully retraced. Now we're going to see some chop for the next little bit. They're going to leave. And as soon as everyone leaves the market, that's when it pumps again.
I do have some interesting data. So there's been three prior bull cycles. Bitcoin experienced a 77% drop and a 50% drop in the first bull cycle. Second bull cycle, a 40%, a 40%, and a 30% drop. That's three massive drops on like a, what everybody thinks to be a straight up line, right?
Yep.
The 2021 bull cycle, 30, 50, 25, and 77%. Like huge, huge drops. This current one, it's been a bit weird. It's been 20, 20, 20, 20. So four 20% drops. Like that is so painful for the average retail person who hasn't been around here. It's like, man, like just keep going up already.
Yep.
So when I did look at like the halving to peak cycles, there's been obviously four of them. The first one lasted approximately 700 days. The second one lasted 520 days. The third one lasted 550 days. We're only at like 300 and so days so far into this having to quote unquote peak cycle. If you take the average of around 550, it puts us at October.
Yep.
When you look at the bull to bear length cycle, so that's the very bottom to the very peak, it seems like every cycle lasts exactly 1,000, like or somewhere around 1,000 days. Mm-hmm. Two of the cycles were exactly 1,065 days with a bear market following of 365 days. Mm-hmm. We're only 700 to 800 days into this cycle currently. Like we still have another 200 plus days available to us. Mm-hmm. So if history repeats itself and these two having the peak cycles and the length of bull and bear, we should see a top in October of 2025, which would also coincide with what we're seeing with the M2 global liquidity cycle, which should also lead into where we're at with forward looking to how I think we could start to see the economy shape up. So all these are things, right? Like the goal has always been 2% inflation. When they hit that target, surely we're going to start to see some positive impact from the Fed, right?
And I think what's happened over the last little bit is there's been so much doubt in the macroeconomic, you know, scenario where people have kind of, I mean, so many bullish things came out for crypto from the Trump administration over the past 2 months, but they were all negated by market action because the stock market keeps falling every day, right? You know, Trump made a lot of crypto related promises. And to be fair, he's come through on a lot of these promises. They did create the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve. And I think what a lot of people missed about that is there is an opportunity for them to keep buying Bitcoin. Yes, the Bitcoin in there right now is all that they've seized from like the thefts and stuff like that. But the language in the document actually said if it's budget neutral, they can keep buying Bitcoin. And I think that was kind of missed. And the stock market was tanking on those days, right? Yeah. So it's never going to pump the market. They did create the US crypto reserve with altcoins in there. And who knows what they can do with that in the future. You know, we've seen murmurs of the Trump family trying to get into Binance. We've seen, you know, we know the Trump family keeps buying Ethereum and all these other altcoins. There's so many, a stablecoin regulation is coming in. There's been so many bullish things that have legitimized Bitcoin and crypto in America and therefore the world like we've never seen before. So when it does flip, when the switch does flip back to risk assets, the fact that crypto as a risk asset in America has been completely legitimized and the government says, look, we are backing this, we are owning this, that actually makes it much more likely for other institutions and big money players to buy this, because before it was like, we can't actually buy it, we're not allowed to buy it, I don't know how to buy it. Now with ETFs, it's easier to buy than ever. Crypto reserves, all these things, people are learning about it and like, oh, well, if the US government's buying it, like maybe I'll buy a little bit of it. I think there's so many bullish things for crypto specifically that when risk assets do get turned back on, it can go up further and faster than anyone expects.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know when they had that crypto summit or whatever at the White House. Like, were people just expecting their altcoins to be named? You know what I mean? Like, guys, it's just like some very important people in the industry who are probably trying to work some backdoor deals, mind you. However, like, they're just creating the framework. And Cynthia Lummis, like, she tried to bring this Bitcoin strategic reserve to America. And they are. And now the fear of the U.S. selling Bitcoin is gone. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about those coins ever hitting the market.
Yeah.
You have to expect that other countries will follow suit because, you know, the US is a powerhouse. They have their hands in a lot of different countries around the world. Other countries will start to follow suit with this strategic reserve. Mm-hmm. Remember, there's only 21 million Bitcoin that will ever be available. Supply is going to outpace demand.
Yep.
Wealth managers are going to start pushing it. So states are currently pushing it, right? There's all these bills going through the Senate and whatnot. So Texas is this and like, so there's just going to be more accumulation in the long run. Right now, we're just seeing a lot of macro factors that are kind of having a bit of a play on all the markets, right? There's also, like you said, there's some really good news that came out. I feel like it just got completely overlooked. Mm. One of them is U.S. banks can now be validated on public networks like Ethereum. So these banks can now are now allowed to custody crypto for customers. So holding stablecoins is allowed.
Yeah.
Like, that is huge. You know, it's such a big thing. Binance stablecoin reserve is at an all-time high currently.
Mm-hmm. They just got like a $2 billion, multi-billion dollar investment Binance did from like
UAE or something.
Yeah, there's money pouring in.
There's big things happening behind the scenes. We also see like the fear and greed index is sitting at peak fear.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I look back at like when we saw a 19 on the scale, a 10 on the scale, that typically marked, like, yes, it can last 2 or 3 months. Mm. I'm not saying it just hits 10 and it's V-shaped recovery.
Yep.
However, that typically has marked a relatively close to the bottom in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. And we end up skyrocketing another 40K plus.
Yep.
You know, I think this has been a good thing. There's been a lot of over-leveraged D-gens getting wiped out, which is fantastic.
Pump fund is dying.
Coinbase is delisting meme coins.
Yeah, I like it.
This is fantastic. Like, this is everything. Like we said, it's painful when you have to go through these periods, but we've been through them before, and it ends up really bringing to light like the best projects and the number one assets that you want to be putting your money into. Just the other day, there was a little bit of a relief rally. What was sitting at the very top out of the top 100 projects? It was BitTensor.
For sure.
You know, so it highlights the best projects out there, and that's where you're going to start to see money flowing into.
Yeah, 100%. So what is our prediction for what's going on in the markets right now? I think it is a mid-cycle break. I think you're going to see a lot of time-based and price-based capitulation coming from retail, from inexperienced investors that are going to, they came in after Trump got elected, they bought the top, they got absolutely wrecked. You know, looking back on it, there was a lot of signs that that was a local top. The fact that Trump launched his own meme coin, that was a good day to sell. You know, we can all look back on that and try to learn for the future. Like, there were the signs. It's hard to spot in real time unless you're very, very experienced, but we're all trying to learn here together, right? So what do we think is going on right now? I think we'll see a bit of a mid-cycle break. I think you're going to see a similar thing that you did to last cycle where Bitcoin crashed from 64 to 28 and went sideways and down for 2.5 months before it went to new all-time highs. I think we're sticking with our prediction that we're going to see new all-time highs for Bitcoin and a lot of altcoins in Q4 of this year, which means that should you be timing the markets right now by exiting all markets and selling the fear? No, I think you should be sitting tight, researching good projects like the ones that we try to bring to you on this show, and just know that there are brighter days ahead for both the stock market and the crypto market. I think Bitcoin will go back to all-time highs as soon as Q4 of this year. I think like 150K to 200K is definitely still in the cards.
Yeah, my price prediction has always been somewhere between 120K to 150K by October, and there's a lot of factors that have gone into that.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking to people who have been in the investing world for many, many years, you know, they're sitting there 70-year-old, and their biggest regrets, and I'm not telling you guys what to do, but their biggest regrets, and it's happened to them twice through two of these big sell-offs, is they sold. They panic sold.
Mm.
And like, man, I regret selling. And like, I wish I did the opposite of what I was feeling at the time. And I wish I was buying into, you know, my favorite stocks, my favorite cryptos, like whatever it was at the time for them. And I've been a victim of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got into Bitcoin at like 3K or whatever, went up to 20, came back down, like, okay, I'm out of this thing.
Yep.
You know, it's a mistake, but we're not traders. We're like long-term investors. We see value in a lot of these projects like BitTensor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not selling that. I'm never going to sell that thing for the next 5 to 10 years. Like, uh-huh. If it goes down to 200, I'll buy more. If it goes up to 400, I'll buy more.
Yep.
I don't care. Same thing with Bitcoin. I hold it, I buy it, and then I don't sell during these periods of time.
For sure, yeah. There's a lot of lessons to be learned in these market pullbacks. And if you want to become a better investor and trader, just look back, zoom out a little bit. Like, it helps so much to zoom out. Think of all the bullish things that have happened for crypto over the last few months. There is no doubt that crypto and Bitcoin and all this is in a much better spot than it was in the previous administration. And then if you zoom out on the macroeconomics, okay, yes, we might be in for a period of short-term pain here, but long-term gain, the markets will recover. They always do.
Yeah.
And it will go back to all-time highs and more. So if you're panicking and selling on these massive crashes, it's probably not going to work out for you. I think you just need to zoom out, continue to buy more. Or if you're out of cash, just hold your portfolio. There are brighter days ahead. And I think specifically for Bitcoin and crypto, this year is going to still be very profitable.
Well, that's our take. Let us know in the comments what you guys will think will happen during the rest of the year and moving forward past that. And then tune into the next episode,
because that one is going to be a banger.
All-
All views expressed by speakers on the Beanpod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the Beanpod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.